Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where you read the scriptures and reflect on them with those in the past. Today, we're reading John 12, verses 44 to 50, and then through J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say, as the Father has told me." This is the word of the Lord. These verses throw light on two subjects which we can never understand too well. Our daily peace and our practice of daily watchfulness over ourselves are closely connected with a clear knowledge of these two subjects. One thing shown in these verses is the dignity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find him saying, "He who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Christ's oneness with the Father and Christ's role are clearly shown in these words. Concerning the unity of the Father and the Son, we must be content to believe reverently what we cannot grasp mentally or explain distinctly. Let it suffice us to know that our Savior was not like the prophets and patriarchs, a man sent by God the Father, a friend of God, and a witness for God. He was something far higher and greater than this. He was in his divine nature essentially one with the Father, and in seeing him, people saw the Father that sent him. This is a great mystery, but a truth of vast importance to our souls. The one who casts their sins on Jesus Christ by faith is building on a rock. Believing in Christ, they believe not merely on him, but in him that sent him. Concerning the role of Christ, there can be little doubt that in this place he compares himself to the Son. Like the Son, he has risen on his sin-darkened world with healing on his wings and shines for the common benefit of all humanity. Like the Son, he is the great source and center of all spiritual life, comfort, and fertility. Like the Son, he illuminates the whole earth, and no one needs miss the way to heaven if they will only use the light offered for their acceptance. Forever, let us make much of Christ in all our faith. We can never trust him too much, follow him too closely, or commune with him too unreservedly. He has all power in heaven and earth. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. None can snatch us out of the hand of him who is one with the Father. He can make all our way to heaven bright and plain and cheerful, like the morning sun cheering the traveler. Looking to him, we shall find light in our understanding, see light on the path of life we have to travel, feel light in our hearts, and find the days of darkness, which will sometimes come, stripped of half their gloom. Only let us abide in him and look to him always. There is a mine of meaning in his words. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Matthew 6:22. Another thing shown in these verses is the certainty of a judgment to come. We find our Lord saying, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." There is a last day. The world shall not always go on as it does now, buying and selling, sowing and reaping, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. All this will come to an end at last. There is a time appointed by the Father when the whole machinery of creation shall stop, and the present dispensation will be changed for another. It had a beginning, and it shall also have an end. Banks at length close their doors forever. Stock exchanges will be shut. Parliaments will be dissolved. The very sun, which since Noah's flood has done its daily work so faithfully, will rise and set no more. Well would it be if we thought more of this day. Birthdays, wedding days, and all kinds of anniversaries are often regarded as days of great interest, but they are nothing compared to the last day. There is a judgment coming. People have their reckoning days, and God will at last have his. The trumpet shall sound. The dead will be raised incorruptible. The living will be changed. All of every name and nation and people and tongue will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The books will be opened and the evidence brought forth. Our true character will come out before the world. There will be no concealment, no evasion, no false coloring. Everyone will give an account of themselves to God, and all will be judged according to their works. The wicked will go away into everlasting fire, and the righteous into life eternal. These are tremendous truths, but they are truths and ought to be told. No wonder that the Roman governor Felix trembled when Paul the prisoner spoke about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Acts 24:25. Yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have no cause to be afraid. For them there is no condemnation, and the last court need have no terrors. The bias of their lives will be witness for them, while the shortcomings of their lives will not condemn them. It is those who reject Christ and will not hear his call to repentance. They are the ones who, on the judgment day, will have reason to be cast down and afraid. Let the thought of judgment to come have a practical effect on our faith. Let us daily judge ourselves with righteous judgment, that we may not be judged and condemned of the Lord. Let us so speak and so act as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Let us make conscience of all our hourly conduct and never forget that for every idle word we must give an account at the last day. In a word, let us live like those who believe in the truth of judgment, heaven and hell. So living, we shall be Christians indeed and in truth and have boldness in the day of Christ's appearing. Let the judgment day be the Christian's answer and apology when people ridicule them as too strict, too precise, and too particular in their Christianity. Having no faith may seem to do well for a time, so long as a person is in health and prosperous and looks at nothing but this world. But the one who believes that they must give account to the judge of living and dead at his appearing and kingdom will never be content with an ungodly life. They will say, "There is a judgment. I can never serve God too much. Christ died for me. I can never do too much for him." That is the end of Ryle's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today, and may the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for his glory. In considering what we've just heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, these words of Jesus declare that he is our hope and our light. Ryle declares that we can never trust him too much, follow him too closely, or commune with him too unreservedly, and that looking to him we will find light in our understanding. Are we looking to Christ in such a way that it strips the darkness of half its gloom when it comes into our lives? And second, we see in the words of Jesus that the words he spoke will judge us on the last day. Ryle exhorts us to consider the judgment day in our everyday lives and let it have a practical effect of walking in holiness. And so let us ask ourselves, how often do we think of the judgment day? Does this doctrine have the effect of making us flee sin and strive for holiness? If not, how will we put this before us going forward from this day onwards?